Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we're glad you did that. And that means that makes us consider you a member of the highly intelligent members of our audience. And we're glad you're here. You're going to be glad you're with me because we got our good buddy Jim Ostroff back on the show. Jim is one of the great editors over at the Kiplinger Washington Editors. They're the folks who make the Kiplinger Letter, which is a publication I've been reading for decades, and as many of you have, and I've been reporting on for over 12 years right here on my show. Every week we've talked about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days. And Jim Ostroff, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning, Jim, and good morning, everyone.
It's good to have you back,
thank
as
you.
Always. Jim, The lead story today is that the tax gap is this issue of the tax gap, especially for the states. Many states are having challenges right now, aren't they?
Horrendous challenges, and you know, virtually all of them, except like four or five, are facing monumental budget shortages. And of course, it's due to the downturn in the economy, but also, of course, that they had expanded the size of their workforce as well as various offerings dramatically during the last decade. And
because Jim, it hasn't been that long—only about maybe 7 or 8 years since we had since I reported the same information, same kind of story on this show with someone from Kiplinger.
Right.
About this on a topic just like this.
Well, exactly.
And so, but here's the thing: in those days, states were having a tough time, and they had all these problems, very much like now. But they weren't about to go bankrupt like many of them are now. And
yeah.
And I think you're right. I think there's been an expansion in the last 10 years that's really hurt them.
Well,
either that or what they've been doing over all these years is finally coming home to roost on them, meaning hiring too many people, paying people too much, not being able to get rid of anybody.
That's a big part of it. And of course, you might just say that they could find a way and borrow their way to the next year,
right.
in recent years when it was possible. But it absolutely is not now. And of course, to make things worse, federal money is drying up. That
right.
helped a bit. It's
right.
going away.
But and also, Jim, the mandates that the federal government puts on the states, that's finally becoming untenable.
Well, it's
more than
right.
ever has been.
It's a big issue, but you might just say, what do? You just tell them we're not paying. We're not going to do this.
Right.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And for instance, here, really crystallize it. In New Jersey, you have a governor, a guy named Chris Christie, who ran and was elected last year in a promise to really bite the bullet on, the out-of-control budgets. And, he cut spending this year, managed to get through nearly a 10% cut in spending. And that's okay. They're sort of in balance. But already, next year, they're looking at nearly an $11 billion
yeah.
shortfall.
Yeah, even with all the stuff he's done.
That's right.
So Jim, here's the question. When you look around the globe, what's the difference in New Jersey, New York, and California, and Greece? There's no difference.
The only difference is those states are part of the United States.
But from a fiscal standpoint, there's no difference.
No.
And I mean, they've all overextended. They've all overcommitted. They've all paid people more than they were worth. They've all made commitments to people beyond what the marketplace can afford,
right.
to for themselves or to fund the government with tax dollars.
Well,
there's no difference, is there?
There isn't. And once again, like so many things we see time and again, we always see it again, is that might say, governments and people perhaps expand extremely well beyond their means and keep saying, well, but tomorrow will be a brighter day, it'll be okay. At some point, you know, chickens come home to roost.
That's exactly right.
You can't defy gravity forever.
No, no. Mr. Newton's law is alive, as I've said many times before. Mr. Newton's law is alive and well in the marketplace, and the governments, the state governments, and these sovereign governments around the globe, United States government, has had the attitude that they could defy gravity, and that's those days have come to an end now.
Yep, they have, and you know,
we've got to have a gut check. We've got to have some reality, and some hard decisions are going to have to be made. And so, folks, the future of America is going to depend upon our leadership, and who we have as leaders is going to depend upon us when we vote. Tony Taylor, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for staying with me. I hope you check out my website when you get a chance, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of good stuff there for you. No firewall, no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come and hang out with us and use our stuff. And it's all free. Nothing's no charge for anything there unless you decide to buy one of my books. And the and you can thank our partners, our corporate partners, for that, to make all this available to you for nothing. And but it is valuable. There's some good stuff there that our Brain Trust members have helped us put together. And so I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget our poll question, which is right on the homepage. The tax breaks of the last decade are expiring this year unless somebody extends them. So the question is, should the government extend them? Should they not? Should they allow them to expire or extend them? So we'd like to know your answer. And when you give us your answer, you'll be able to see how the poll's going so far immediately. So check that out at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Jim Ostroff is our guest. He's editor at Kiplinger Washington Editors. We're talking about the Kiplinger letter this week. And Jim, the big news today is what are the states going to do? They're running out of money. Is it possible, Jim, that a state could take bankruptcy?
Well,
like Orange County, California did years ago.
Yeah, and actually they could. I'm trying to think here. Somehow I recollect that during the Great Depression that some states filed for protection.
I didn't know that.
I think so. But the thing is, yes, they could. That could be an option, but it's one they don't want to go near because it wrecks your credit and you know, for years.
Right.
But it's something.
But you know the problem, Jim, with the states dealing with their expenses is a phenomenon that's happened over the last 20 years or so, maybe longer, and that is this increase in employee numbers that you guys report. But I'm not sure that you report on this thing, which is very critical. Most of those new employees have become members of unions.
No, we didn't. We didn't have that.
And that's a key point to make, don't you think, Jim?
Well,
because the unions have more power than individuals, and they're that's what's going on in California. You know, the SEIU refused to give in to cost cuts, and that's put an extra burden on California.
Well, and I'll just say, without, you know, we never take sides, but I will just say that non-government, we saw it at GM and Chrysler, situations here going on, and the union there, you know, steadfastly refused to give
right.
in for many years, and eventually it crumbled.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, and that's what's going to happen with these states. I mean, something's got to give. It's happening in Greece, it's happening in France, it's happening in Portugal, Spain, Ireland.
And we see here in England, we'll see how it turns out, but the new government is proposing a 25% cut in spending.
Right. Yeah.
A very bitter medicine.
Right. But so talk to us about, give us some of the other examples that you use with the state issues, Jim.
Basically here, you know, what you're saying, that these states have really no choice but to really slash spending.
Yeah.
And most of them are. And, you know, it's once again, it's personnel that were hired to such great numbers.
They've got to do what the marketplace has done, don't they?
Well, They do. They have to rationalize their operations and correct, right-size it to what their income is likely to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we see that there are a number of states that are raising taxes, and they're raising sales taxes.
Big mistake.
And of course, that goes over time and reduces income.
Yep.
Reduces revenues. But
higher taxes are not, it's not economy building. It's not an economy building step. Higher taxes hurts the economy.
It helps in the very short run.
Yep.
Like immediate short run, but ultimately it produces lower taxes.
So folks, if you have a member of your legislature, you have a governor who talks about trying to get your fiscal house in order, you know, Republican or Democrat, that's the person I think that we need to be looking at. We need to be looking at people who can recognize that we've got problems, we've got issues, and the only way to deal with them long term is to be prudent and to be fiscally conservative. And so look for those folks, in my opinion. Hey, Jim, let's move over and talk about your economic forecast. A couple of things in the middle there, inflation and unemployment. Inflation, you guys are saying, is going to be below 1% this year.
That's
very near to deflation.
It is very close.
Certainly disinflation, isn't it?
It's very close to being that. And, of course, no question, it is a concern because at that level, if there's some bumper hit, it could go down. And no one wants to look at a deflationary outlook.
And with interest rates as low as they are, near nothing, there's not many bullets left in the Fed's bag there, is it?
That's right. And it's we saw that, of course, in Japan many years. It's like they held interest rates at zero, but it still didn't help.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to say, okay, we've cut 100 basis points, but here they're only at 50 right now,
right,
but about a
right.
half. Unemployment is likely to improve, but maybe 9.4% by year end, and a little lower than that next year.
Mm-hmm.
That's still, you know, for us, for the United States, very high unemployment.
That's high, and Jim, that only takes into consideration the people who are still looking for a job.
It excludes.
There are many people who believe that our true unemployment and underemployment number, meaning people who aren't working as much as they want to, is closer to 17%.
Above 15%.
Yeah, that's untenable, Jim, and we've got to address this. And the only way to do this, folks, is to unleash the power of the American entrepreneur. You folks out there listening right now, the government, somebody needs to figure out how to unfetter you and in the marketplace, and higher taxes is not one of those. Quick break, 10 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.